and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
It seems like about this time every year, there's a question that's constantly asked, and it's because we have pockets of family birthdays in the springtime. Do you guys have like times of year where there are just pockets of birthdays? And so one of the questions, though, or one of the statements, I should say, because it's not really optional, from my girls is they will look at me square in the face, and usually, you know it's serious, they'll look and go, "Dad, tell me the story about when I was born." Okay, so, you know, and they've heard it so many times that they could, like, pick up at any moment or stage along the way, but they love hearing, like, their origin story. Just like every stinking Spider-Man movie, you have to show the origin story, right? So they want to hear it. If their cousin just celebrated a birthday a few days ago, and so Bethany, our almost seven-year-old, says, "Dad, tell me the story about when I was born." And then if our older one comes in, Eden, and she hears even a snippet of it, she'll go, "Now tell me my story," and she'll say "my story" like it's better than her sister's, right? And she'll be like, "My story." And really, it's come to the point that I think that if I skip critical pieces, particularly the ones that make me look to be a fool, I hear about it, right? "Dad," Eden will say, "you skipped the part where you didn't bring the hospital bag when I was being born." "Eden, okay, I had to go back home. Don't worry," right? And to my defense, part of Eden's story was being a two-pastor household. Katie was pregnant. I was going to do hospital visits. And so she said, "You know, something feels kind of weird. I'll just ride along." And I said, "Do you want your bag?" She says, "No." All right? We're videoing. So did you guys hit record? Okay, good. So I said no, we don't need it. We don't need it. Okay. So like there was that moment, but then we tell the story about Bethany, and it gets worse. And so there's Eden, and I forgot her bathing suit on beach day. Like, they weren't going to the beach, but I forgot it. So I had to go back and make 5 trips. And by that time, Katie was kind of, she was thinking something was weird, but I made sure that we went and got Thai food for lunch before we went to the hospital. Okay. You know, and then I forgot the camera, and I did, like, it's a comedy of errors, but we get to the end of their story every single time, and there's another question that follows up that's really the question that they want to know even before we get through their whole birth story, and they look at me, and they look, like, into my soul, because that's sometimes how kids do it, and they go, "But when did you know you loved me?" You know, and it's not a, "Do you love me more than my sister?" It's not any of that. And, you know, to be honest, when the second one was coming, there was this kind of thing of, how could I love another little person? Look at the terror on my face. And like, how could I love another little person the way that's Eden from, like, almost now a dozen years ago? And, like, how could I, and it's, there's this love that bubbles over, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. And so as we kind of move into this series that we're calling Table Manners, we're talking about the two sacraments of the United Methodist Church that we celebrate and believe are this way, there's this outward and visible sign of God's inward grace that allows us to be the people that God has called us to be, more fully stepping into what God has in store for us. And so today we talk about baptism. And I almost think that when we talk about baptism in the context of our denomination, what we talk about is us as a people saying to God, "God, when did you first love us?" Because for us, baptism, first and foremost, is an act of grace, not a dedication or a profession of faith, but it's not about us choosing God, but it's about God choosing us, coming down and saying, "I love you so much that you remember last week," not the weekend, because that's the party. That's like the birthday party. But last week, where I love you so much that while you were still sinners, I sent my son to have the worst the world would throw at him, and even to that point, that we might have victory over death. That is how much I love you before anything else. And so you know, we look at that and we say that this baptism thing is a welcoming into the family of God, realizing, recognizing that we can all be part of that family because God first, almost like at a, feels appropriate for a middle school dance, right? That God is the first one to initiate and ask us to dance, to ask us to be part of the family, to ask us to take part in and be enfolded into what God is up to and doing in the restoration of creation. Isn't that powerful? And so God takes this ordinary thing of water, which then we're reminded of when we walk into church because it's raining outside, right? Because we are reminded so many times because of the power and the ordinary and the everything else, the way that water gives life. And so there is this gift that we are enfolded to because of this ordinary thing that does extraordinary things because of what it has become to us. And so for us, what we like to do, or there's this piece from, do you remember a number of years ago, the book The Shack? And it was this kind of like imagery and illustration. And it had some high points, it had some low points, but there was this beautiful part where God, who is then at that point in time, portrayed as this like loving mother, is having a conversation with a guy and starts to ask about all these different people. And every single time, God's response is, I'm particularly fond of that one. And he gets irritated and says, well, are there any that you aren't particularly fond of? Well, no, right? Because there's this crafting and this shaping and this beauty that comes with the people that God has made. And so, like, it's almost like my kids saying, God, or Dad, when did you first know that you loved us? Man, those first sonogram pictures were pretty much, I was wrapped around your finger at that point. Right? Like there is something to that gift. What about when we do stuff wrong? I'm particularly fond of that one. And so for us, baptism, coming to the waters, whether we are dunking, there's beautiful sign language for the way that we do things. But like my favorite is like you have your thumbs like that, like dunking, like bloop, and you come up, right? And not sprinkling, but we do that oftentimes here and all kinds of other things, right? But in that, we have this new life, and it doesn't matter how old you are or where you've been or your current circumstances or your anxieties about the future, but those baptismal waters welcoming into your family, getting you cleaned up for the meal that we're going to celebrate next week is there. I think that that's a really important and critical piece, that if we are the ones that are then waiting for God to take that place and claim us, that is gift and grace. If there is no age limit to that, that is good and wonderful, because then that means that to be fully incorporated into the family, to be fully part of that family, it doesn't matter what we bring, right? If I answered my kids when they said, when did you know you loved me? If I said to them, the jury's still out, let's see what happens when you get a job. Yeah, try that with Jackie, Paul. See what happens, right? Or you know, my love depends on the value that you bring, or my love depends on your reciprocal love for me, or any of those things. It kind of devalues the gift of God's grace. And so then for people like my friend Crystal, who was another one of our campers, Crystal has some developmental delays, and so she came to camp with us on some of those first times at camp in 2011. And Crystal is about 43 years old or so at that point, but mentally she's about that age of a middle schooler. And so Crystal would come and she would do the things and she would do all these challenges. And I can't help but think, as I saw those kids enfold her as part of the family of camp that week, that these words right here would be what God would whisper to Crystal, that this is my child, I love them, and I am so pleased with them. Now, do I think that Crystal can make a statement of faith that then would say, yeah, I am choosing God, and I know the full ramifications of that? I'm not sure. But what I do know is that her baptism fully enfolds her. That our friend Lerone, who Katie, my wife, says, saved her life, he's nonverbal. And she is this petite little, you know, city girl, very fair skin. Lerone is about 6'7", big, built, and he goes, man, Katie will say, he saved my life because of the way that he loves me and because of the way that God created and shared that unconditional love with me. Could he make a profession of faith? I don't know that he could in those ways. And Katie and I had this conversation about it. But at the same time, his baptism isn't about him claiming God. It's about God claiming him and saying that you are fully part of the family. And there is gift and grace in that. And so when we come to the baptismal waters, what happens is that we then receive that gift of grace from God, but we also do it in particular times, in particular places, and we do it when we are surrounded by community. Because as the church, we're a church family, but we're not like a family church. Like there are some churches that are family churches where if you sit in somebody else's pew, you'll be excommunicated, right? But that's not our call. Our call isn't to say which dish you brought to the potluck and then judge them on that dish, or if it wasn't fully eaten, who didn't get a piece of my pie, right? Like that's not the call that we're at, but we're called to be the church family where we gather together and realize the way that coming together means that we are better together, because the commitments that we make aren't just with those who are feeling the water and being baptized, but it's also the community's response to them saying that now we take responsibility. Now we are part steward of raising these people up so that they might take their next faithful step and become the people that God has created them to be. Now, as they step, we step along with them. And so I love this picture. This picture is of Bethany's baptism, because if I had a picture of Eden, then goodness gracious, we need a picture of the other, right? And so, but baptizing her was our district superintendent at the time, Terry Ray Chatton. And Terry Ray, if you want to talk about a leader who epitomized grace and poise and this perfect balance of like keeping us in line and pushing us to what we need to do and being somebody that can laugh alongside of us, and man, she was it. And Terry Ray baptized Bethany because we were out at this future property of Katie's church with gathered faith communities of about 6 or 7 of the faith communities that claim that they are going to be steward over making sure my kid doesn't become a disaster, right? And that is super helpful for me as a parent going, all right, so I can call up people that were at Katie's first church in Wolfsville or my church in Middletown or the people in Shepherdstown that I used to do ministry with when I was in college and go, yo, you guys made a promise. Now come and help me get my kid in line with what Jesus is calling her to do, right? Isn't that helpful to know that as parents, as those who have been entrusted with the stewardship of these little ones, we don't have to do it alone? That we have parents and grandparents, spiritual grandparents and aunts and uncles and everybody else that's going to come alongside and say that this story of baptism is us journeying together, that we go down into the waters just like the people of Israel went down into the Red Sea and God parted those waters and delivered us into something that was new. And so today we can come and claim that gift of community and claim that something new, and we are different after coming out of those waters. And that still, we have community alongside us that now we are talking and taking our part and enfolded into this kind of new Exodus story. And so if we are delivered, if we take that old way, and now we have come through those waters, and there is a new way, and we're celebrated that we are enfolded into God's family, and that we have community beside us, the question then becomes, so what is there on the other side of those riverbanks? What are on the other side of those times where we go in the water and come out, and we hear that voice going, this is my child, whom I am well pleased. So what does that now mean? I think that part of it is kind of the answer to what that means for us, that this new life and this new journey, as we are raised up out of that, it's that we become citizens of the kingdom. And so think about those first step sheets, okay? Now here's where I want you to share a little bit, because what does it mean then? What is a part of what it means? Because we're not going to collect the whole thing, but what does it mean to be a citizen? Just in general, what does it mean to be a citizen? Make a positive impact on your community, on those that are now your tribe mates, right? Yeah. What else? Is it tricky? Right? Aaron took your answer. Oh, Dennis, there's been one answer that has been, and she nailed it, and she got it, right?
I really said serving.
Okay, serving. There we go. See? I'm just going to harass you until you come up with an answer. That's fine. Right? That's, except in community language, what that's called is holding you accountable. So I'm not harassing you. I'm just holding you accountable. Right? So making a positive impact, but then also serving one another. You know, a piece of that, too, is making sure that our voices are known, or that other voices that aren't as well, you know, held up, that there's some acts of not just of mercy that happens with us making sure, like, we are feeding people, but also asking questions of justice and saying, but why are people hungry, right, in our current circumstance? Yeah. You know, it means that if we are citizens, or if we are claiming citizenship over one thing, it means that we may not be a part, or that other things are lower on the list. And so if there is citizenship of the kingdom that is in some way, shape, or form claiming that Jesus is Lord for our Christian context, and that then other things are not. And so if you're hearing that in the first century, when a lot of our you know, New Testament is being written, that's pretty countercultural, because, you know, there's no Caesar but Caesar, and Caesar is it. And so this little sect is going, no, well, actually, there's this guy that died and came back to life, and he's kind of a bigger deal than Caesar, and that caused trouble. But there's these other things too, and as we talk about that citizenship, you know, it means that we do also need to take some responsibility in seeking justice and in doing kindness and being the people that God has called us to be. But the good news is that we take a step forward together each time. And so as we look about what this means for us, I think that, you know, as the body, we're part of a church family that comes together, and we can come together to those baptismal waters every single day. There's not a day that you do not necessarily interact with, that you don't interact with flowing water in some way, shape, or form. Hopefully you're washing your hands, right? Or you're taking a shower, or you're walking through the rain, or there is constant reminder of this ordinary gift that changes and does extraordinary things because of the gift of communion and community together. And so three things for us to remember as we walk through this week is, number one, through our baptismal waters, we need to be humble. And I think that part of that is realizing that maybe we have messed up, and the path that we are on may not necessarily always be that path that God would have us be on. And so the churchy word for that is repent, or being willing and able to then turn around and say, man, I probably missed the mark on this, but if I just turn a little bit, claiming my baptism today means that I adjust course and see what God might have in store for me. So be humble. Secondly, is that we be healed, that we realize that those baptismal waters, just like when we wash our hands, cleanse us of those things that we hold on to and the junk of our past. And yeah, there are probably some ripples that go along with that past that we have to deal with, but at the same time, all of those chains, all of those, that baggage and all of that stuff that we have, we can choose to leave at the foot of the cross and say, I don't need to be burdened by that anymore, but I have the freedom, I have the healing, than to be the person to step into my God-preferred future. And so if we are humble, if we are healed, then the third thing that we need to realize is that we are also called to be helpers, called to journey with one another, struggle with one another, name with one another the fact that what we are called to is not easy work, it is not simple work, but it is good work. And so as we continue to, as John Wesley would say, go on towards perfection, as we are made more fully in the image of God every single day, if we kind of shed off some of that stuff every single day, that as we then continue to work, we are also going to know that we're not just finger pointers, right? Going, John, you know what you need to do? You need to go and do that stuff over there, right? That's not helpful. But if I say to John, hey, John, let's do this together, because together we can make it better, right? If I can say to Tom those types of things where let's take this journey together, maybe it means sharing a meal together, maybe it means working together, we can go and put new flooring down at camp, we can hang doors, we can do those things, we can prevent gun violence by doing these other things, but we can do it together. We can bring hope and healing to those who haven't found those baptismal waters yet, but who are still welcomed into the family. And so through those three things of being a helper, being healed, and being those who are humble, we can transform this world and bring that kingdom of God that we are citizens of closer each and every day. And so as we claim those baptismal waters this week, think about how you might be that good news for other people, welcoming them in and sharing with them that hope that comes with this simple element of water. Let's pray. God of grace, we are reminded that our table manners get us washed and ready for that meal that you have prepared for us. Our table manners remind us that everyone can be a part of your family, and God of grace, we know that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And so allow us to be humble, allow us to be healed and free to be the people that you have made us to be, and allow us to be co-laborers, to be helpers with you in this gift of grace that you have shared with us through baptism. God, it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.